I got to throw you for a loop there with Sosthenes, huh? You did awesome, Claire. I always say to people, like, it's a language that hasn't been spoken for 2,000 years, at least. Like, it's evolved over time, so, like, however you want to pronounce it is the correct way. So, grace and peace to you, my friends, from God our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Imagine with me, if you will, for a moment, a universe in which a loving God exists who created the conditions for a warm, stable, habitable planet to exist that overflowed with life. This life was abundant. It was seemingly unstoppable. Yet it became fraught with all kinds of problems, tensions, and pain. So the caring God involved decided to remedy the problems by becoming one of the creations, to fully get the problem and also be the very solution to the problem itself. This loving God ends up falling so madly in love with all its creation that it gives up its own life for them. Okay, so you're with me so far, right? Sounds like a familiar story. But now imagine this. Imagine none of the creations have any idea that there's this creative God force out there. They have no stories, no experiences, no knowledge of any of it. The embodiment of God in human flesh is just a loner. Doesn't talk to anyone, and it observes from a little bit of a distance. Then after it dies and is reborn, it doesn't appear to anyone. It doesn't tell anyone to gather a group while it's here. It just is all kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. If this were true, would our lives be different today? What would human history look like? What would our own relationships with each other look like? I mean, let's be honest, would we even know each other in this room? Would our paths have ever crossed out in the world? I don't know, maybe not. I think that we often overlook, or we kind of almost just take for granted, that when God became a human in Jesus, that one of the first things that we have recorded that he did was he got together a group of a dozen guys around him to share it with. And not even just this dozen guys, I mean, whole bunches of people. It's such a simple part of the story. It seems almost obvious, painfully obvious at times, that if you have something good, you naturally just want to share that good thing, right? So as the story continues about Jesus, it even has this like bigger snowball effect to it. It keeps picking up more people, new people. And then when you expect the whole thing to completely fall apart, when the leader dies, he comes back and he's like, surprise, I'm not gone. Wait, you guys thought this was all over just because I died? We're actually just getting started. And actually, I know there's the whole feeding of the multitudes with the fish and the bread, and that was a really cool story. But what happens next is really incredible. The message actually goes out to the ends of the known world at that time. We get to hear about this through the lens of the Apostle Paul in our 1 Corinthians reading this morning. This Sunday marks, in fact, the first reading in a series of readings through the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians that go in order in our lectionary. And so we've decided to make a sermon series out of it about the theme of unity, titled Church, We Gotta Come Together. I think this theme of unity is so fitting in this place, especially because, wow, Cross of Glory and Atonement, what were once two totally separate places of faith, have already come together. They've come a long, long way towards unity as two churches under our umbrella of Crossroads Parish. As a minister of these two churches, this one parish, I get to sit on what's called a governing board called a church council. We met just this last week on Wednesday, and in case you aren't familiar with how it goes, there are two separate councils, one for Atonement, one for Cross of Glory, but the way that the meeting starts is that everyone sits together and we share reports as one unified group. After this time, the two church councils break out and work on more specific tasks related to their locations, but there's been some really cool talk. And question asking, wondering, do we need two separate church councils? Do we need two separate presidents? Do we need two separate constitutions? Now, I'm not saying at all that we have figured out the answers to all of these questions, and that's totally okay. But what I want to share with you, broader church, is this powerful message of unity. There is Holy Spirit movement happening right here and now that's exciting. These are the kinds of questions and the type of leadership that really shine forth as God up to something exciting that you want to be a part of and invite those around you to come and join with. Okay, so the skeptic in you might be saying, uh-oh, is this talk of unity just kind of like a dressed up way of saying we have no money and really we're just making consolidating language more fancy? Overwhelmingly no. Church, we are growing. We are spreading the message of the good news of Jesus. And the more that we come together in unity, the more we are getting the word out about Jesus. I hope that you are sharing with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and everyone. You are a part of a really unique church that is doing something really exciting for God's mission in the world. Some of us might feel fear, and that's okay. That's natural. Allow yourselves to be afraid and feel that fear. But keep in mind that your unique identity isn't going to be lost. We're not talking about unity as at the expense of identity. What makes you who you are? I know sometimes we might feel like we're maybe like giving up a part of ourselves in order to feel united. I don't see it that way. I don't think we give it up as much as we allow ourselves to be transformed into something new. In fact, if you think about who you were 10, 20, 30 years ago, are you the exact same person today that you were back then? No, you grew. It was healthy to grow. You let go of some things. You added some new things. You transformed certain processes in your life into better, more efficient, more loving ways of doing things. I think that's really what Paul is getting at in the passage today. The part that really hit me was the line that Claire read in the middle, where Paul says, "Just as the stories of Christ have been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given speech and knowledge of every kind to enrich us with the stories of Jesus to guide us, to give us strength when times get tough, so that we aren't without any of the gifts and the blessings that we need to carry us through this united mission together." Think about the unfolding of human consciousness over time as a part of this. Why 2,000 years of this after Jesus? So we get to keep growing, to keep learning, to boldly go where no person has gone before, to be connected in new ways, to share knowledge, to evolve and create new life, to overcome great difficulty and adversity along the way. And there's a direction to all of this too. We're headed somewhere. There's a point and meaning to it all because it connects back to being united in Christ's work of reconciling all of creation back to God, being co-creators with God. I think it's important for us to take a moment and to reflect on the holiday that is coming up tomorrow, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, as we think about unity. A pastor friend of mine, Christian Johnson, who's actually my El Salvador trip connection, he wrote this week, "It was more than a dream. It was a movement." Did you know that Martin Luther King Jr. actually wasn't going to talk about his dream in his famous speech? People actually came up to him and told him before, "Don't do the dream part. It kind of comes off as a little trite." And he got up and he was giving his speech, and as his speech went on, he could kind of feel like he was losing people a little bit. He was getting a little long-winded maybe, and he was trying to figure out how to bring everyone back and draw everyone back. Gospel singer Malia Jackson called out, "Tell them about the dream." King started to, he just went off script. He started speaking off the cuff. And this is actually where we get these powerful words. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day right here in Alabama, little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. We still have a long way to go towards that dream of unity, don't we? I can't believe it, but it has been almost 3 years since the murder of George Floyd here in Minneapolis. Chaos and disunity are far easier than unity, aren't they? It takes almost 100 years to properly grow a human being fully, but it takes only a few moments of the heart to stop beating or oxygen being cut off to end someone's life. We indeed have our work cut out for us. So I invite you to try it and see what happens. It is never forced. Forced unity isn't unity. It never works when it's a demand. It has to grow and it has to stitch itself together, one thread, one life at a time. It takes time, it takes failure. It takes facing fears head on. It takes hard communication. And no outcomes are guaranteed. But wow, you get to be invited into something that is new life and moves us in the right direction. So church, are you with me? Try it. I invite you. Let's see what happens together. I believe that what God has in store for us is beyond our wildest expectations. Grace, peace, and the unity of God our Father for us all. Amen.